Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
This morning, amen. They have been singing. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. It's preaching time. Matthew chapter 6. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. We read verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, I believe, earlier. I'm going to read one verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 8. When you have it, would you stand to your feet? If you need some more time, say, hold up, wait a minute. All right, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 8. One verse we'll be concentrating on today. Amen. And it reads, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this moment. God, thank you again for this opportunity to come before you. Lord, it's preaching time, and Father, we need you, Lord. We ask that your word would be shared in a way that you would have it to be done. We ask, Lord, that you'd open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds, that we would receive what thus saith the Lord. God, help us right now, Lord. We're in trying times, Father. We need encouraging word from you, Lord, to help us along the way. Father, we love you here in this place. It's in the wonderful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen, amen. You may be seated. Very, very familiar scripture. You're right. Anybody's ever read Matthew chapter 6 before? Anybody know there's something here in Matthew chapter 6 that probably everybody has probably said at one time in their life or not? Anybody know what it is? The model prayer. Amen. And some people refer to it as the Lord's Prayer. That's right. And so here we see Jesus is having a conversation, and in having his conversation, he's responding to prayer. He's responding to how that should be done. And he's talking about the intimacy that should involve your prayer time. He says your prayer should be something in private. Your prayer shouldn't be something that's out in front of everybody for someone to get all excited about all these different words, all these different things. And as he's doing all that, he's coming down. You'll see that in verses 5 and verses 6. And he gets down here, verse 7, he says, "When you pray, use not vain repetitions," and all that. But he gets here to verse number 8, and he says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them." Like unto them. And when he's talking about them, he's talking about, be not like unto them, those religious folk that get so caught up in the words and get caught up in what everybody else thinks and all this other kind of stuff. "Be not like them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask of him." The Father already knows. I'm going to talk from the subject today that God already knows what we need. God already knows what we need. I want to encourage somebody today that no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, that God already knows what it is that you need. He's given us specific commands in Scripture. He's told us that we have not because we ask not. And there's some things God knows that we need, but we don't get those because we haven't opened up our mouths. He says, knock and the door will be open. He gives us all these different examples these phrases that we as sometimes churchy folk use. But then he's also given us all these different examples that every time that Jesus needed something, he actually was an example to show that, hey, I got what I needed. Over in Mark, chapter 11, before Jesus makes his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, he's in need of a colt. He's in need of a colt to ride in on this colt. And he sends his disciples. He says, this is what you need to do. This is what you need. God knows what it is that we already need. And not only does he know it, he provides it. He provides it and he gives it to us. What I want to concentrate here, it's just really one point. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. God's the creator. God knows everything. God has all the power in the world. But why is it? Why is it that he knows? Why is it that he's willing to be there? Why is it that he's willing to respond? Simply breaks down to one word, relationship. 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 If relationship is so important to God, why isn't it so important to us? When you pick up this Bible and you start to read through this Bible, I'm still amazed that this year makes 17 years in ministry. Still amazed at it. But when I read through this Bible and I start to go through the different stories, whether it be in the Old Testament, whether it be in the New Testament, whether it's talking about the church age time, whether it's talking about another time period, no matter what it is that I come across, it points back to the importance of relationship. God says all the way in the very beginning, all the way through Revelation, relationship is what's important to me. With Adam, what is he doing with Adam? He's establishing relationship. Even when man falls, what does he do? He makes a way to point back to the right relationship. Even after all the promises of the Old Testament and the laws and all that other kind of stuff doesn't work out, he comes and wraps himself in flesh in the form of Jesus. Why? So that he could reestablish relationship. And even after he comes and he says, I've now finished my work, I've now done my job, I've now given you a way through salvation that you would be saved through grace and mercy and the belief of Jesus Christ being who he is, that he says that he is, that he rose upon the third day. He then says, even then, there's still going to be things that's going to happen. And so yet and still, relationship is what's important to him. I often wondered, well, why is this praying in secret? Anybody else ever wondered that? I don't know. I know I have. Why is praying in secret what it is that he's talking about here? It says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as hypocrites are, for they pray standing in the synagogues as in the corner of the streets. And I went, wait a minute. The synagogue was a place to learn more about God, a place where they taught. Well, in 2017, that place could be the church. And I've stayed here and I've prayed several different times. I've stood out in the streets and I've prayed several different times. So am I wrong for doing that when I sit up here and read this? But then as he goes on, he says that they might be seen of men. Verily I say unto you that they have received their reward. I think we just talked about that in Bible study, about some of the things that we do and all that kind of stuff, how if you're not doing them for the right reasons, then you've already received what you're supposed to get from it. You've already, that accolade that you received, that's all that you're going to get. And it's not going to last. When it's time to be tried by the fire, it's not going to last. But relationship is so important. Why is this relationship so important? Well, Jesus is sitting here, he's saying all this different stuff, and then the light bulb went off for me. It's not between us. It's not between me and you. It's not between me and you. It's not between me and you. It's between us and him. It's between us and him. My relationship with him makes my relationships here better. If I put my attention and my focus to make sure that I'm with him, then I'll be good. Thank you. So I said there was one point, relationship, but now there's another point, and it deals with focus, but it stays with the R type kind of thing. It would be readjust. So now I have to readjust my focus that my relationship would be in the right order. And so now as a believer, I have to readjust what it is that I got going on so that my relationship would be right with him. A lot of people think that what happens in a relationship is that they try to compare it to the natural. You know how it happens in the natural. In the natural, I got a relationship with you and you do something to make me upset, or I do something to make you upset, and now that's changed our relationship. My mom and dad always told me about letting someone borrow some money. He said, if you let someone borrow some money and in allowing them to borrow money, if they don't pay you back, if it would change your relationship with that person, then don't let them borrow it. So there's some folk that I can say, yeah, you can borrow $5. There's some folk that I don't know about 50. I don't know about 50. But you have to work that out, right? The relationship. Well, if I readjust my focus and I don't get so caught up on what the world says things should be and how things, if I'm able to readjust that, then I'm able to actually make sure that my relationship with him is in right order. I'm guilty. I'm guilty of being caught up sometimes. Anybody else guilty of that? I didn't look at a whole bunch of news Friday or this weekend. Friday I had taken off work and I had planned to go to the PGA tournament. I didn't make it. I ended up working in the garden, doing some different things. Yesterday I ended up helping a friend of mine, doing some work. Didn't look at a whole bunch of social media. Didn't look at a whole bunch of news, all this other kind of stuff. But this morning, as I was getting ready for church, I turned on the TV. And I saw what was happening in Charlottesville. Anybody know what's going on in Charlottesville? And so I saw the protests and the cars and all this other kind of stuff. Bless you. And I had to catch myself. Because it was real easy for me to start to lose focus this morning. It was real easy for me to start to lose focus. But I had to say, wait a minute, I got a relationship that's more important to me. I understand what's going on and I see that it's bad. I can, being a military person, I can look at, you know, folk can have their comments and their opinions on what's happening in North Korea, but traveling to different places, I have a different view of every single bit of that, and it's easy to lose focus. But as a believer, we have to readjust, because what's most important is our relationship. As a head of the household, going through some difficult times, it's easy to lose focus. It's easy to lose focus on being that provider, being that one. It's easy to lose focus. If you ever start to really look at it, is that not what the enemy does? The enemy has no power over me. The enemy can't do anything to me that God doesn't allow to happen. And so the only thing that the enemy can do is attack my focus. I don't know what time you read the Bible. I try to read the Bible in the evening. I don't know about you, but I know when I try to study, it seems like stuff comes up. Seems like your phone ain't rang all day long. And all of a sudden, this is what the enemy does. He tries to mess with our focus. And if he says, I can get you off of that and I can get you to be distracted by something else, then I can start to mess with your relationship. Because what he does with that focus is then he starts to pull us away from the relationship, the distraction. You know how the shiny thing, someone can have a shiny thing. And that shiny thing can get your attention. Someone could drop a book. And the book would make a loud noise and everybody's head would turn. The same type kind of thing. But Jesus says here in his word, he says, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask of him. Isn't it wonderful that God has given us an opportunity to have a relationship with him? That not only does he know everything? Not only is he all powerful in everything, But he has scripture to support verse number 8. It says here, because it can be an empty promise. For your father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask of him. It's wonderful that he knows before I ask. But if you don't know more scripture, that might sound like an empty promise to you. Because there's other scripture that says, not only does this scripture says that he knows, but there's other scriptures that says that he will provide. That he will fix it. For those that were here earlier and heard our worship and praise team sing, Lord have mercy, he will fix it. Not only will he fix it, but he's fixing. Come on, somebody. He's fixing it. Because if the truth be told, I can talk about me. As soon as seems as though, as soon as I get through with one issue, there's another issue. As soon as I start to get on that issue, something else pops off. So there's folk that's dealing with death right now. It's a bug, Lord have mercy. Folk gonna get it. All right. Now that the enemy has gotten we back on focus. We gonna try to distract us with a bug. Did you see that? Way to go, Sister London. There's folk that's dealing with serious stuff. There's folk that's dealing with life-threatening surgeries right now. There's folk that are dealing with deaths in their family. And I don't mean deaths like somebody got sick, but I mean like murder. I got a phone call this morning on the way to church. There's a young man facing 10 to 20 years. A young man that we had right here. A young man that we spoke to and said, don't do that. Don't go that way. Don't go down that path. You're not ready for that. There's more going on with that. You don't want to mess with that. Leave that alone. God says, I want a relationship with you. He doesn't want a relationship with us just for the sake of having a relationship. Because here goes the whole thing. He's God. He could make it automatic that you wouldn't have a choice. But he says, that's not what I'm going to do. I want to have a relationship with you, and I want you to have a desire to want to have a relationship with me. If you would press, if you would readjust your situation and your circumstances, that you would put me first in everything that you do, I'm telling you, based upon the promises in my word, I already know what it is that you need. I got it for you, and I can give it to you. There was a question posed on Facebook. What is it that you would do if you knew that you wouldn't fail? What is it that you would do if you knew that you wouldn't fail? Whatever it is that you chose to do. If you said, I'm going to be the person that cures cancer, and there was a promise that you wouldn't fail, how hard would you work to cure cancer? Whatever it is your heart's desire, what is it that you would do that you know that you wouldn't fail? Has everybody got something in their mind? Everybody have something in their mind? Okay. Now, what makes you think you're going to fail? What makes you think you can't accomplish it? What is it that's actually holding you back from doing that thing that you want to do? I don't know about you, but when I really start to look at that, the answer ends up being me. The answer ends up being me standing in the way. There's so many things I want to do. There's so many things that I could do. But sometimes our own doubt keeps us from it. God says that through his relationship, he'll give us everything that we need. If he's going to give us everything that we need, you mean to tell me I already have everything that I need to do what it is that I want to do, that I need to do? What I'm getting at is I want somebody to walk away today to be encouraged to know you already have everything that you need. Some folk might say, well, I can't do it because I don't have this money or I don't have that money. But have you taken the first step? Oh, I would, if I could just do anything, I'd do this, but I just don't have this and I just don't have that. God would not put in your heart for you to have a desire to do something that he wouldn't already have provided everything else that you need for it. I want to encourage somebody today. Don't give up your dream. You already have everything that you need. God's already given it to you. You just need to be the one to be willing to go ahead and step out and not be scared of failure. I'm going to use this analogy. Michael Jordan. Everybody know who Michael Jordan is? Oh, only one person knows who Michael Jordan is? Gracious. Does anybody not know who Michael Jordan is? AJ, who is Michael Jordan? He was a Chicago Bulls basketball player in 1993. Okay, I'll take that. Next, anybody else? Who's Michael Jordan? Okay, who's Michael Jordan? He's what? A famous person. Okay. Six-time champion. Anybody else? Want to tell me about Michael Jordan? What'd you say? Entrepreneur, businessman. Part owner of the Hornets. Okay. Alumni of UNC Chapel Hill. Yes, ma'am. He didn't make his high school basketball team. Why didn't he make his high school basketball team? They thought he wasn't good. So the story goes that Michael Jordan went out for a team in Wilmington. What's the name of the school? Huh? What's the name of it? Laney. Laney, that's the school you're going to go to? All right. Laney. He goes to school. He drives out for the team. He gets cut. He gets told, you're not good enough. Michael Jordan says that failure is actually what pushed him to be the very best. That failure is what actually pushed him to be the very best. That's only one example. Do you know how many people failed at what they were trying to do before someone finally succeeded? You know how many times someone probably failed at trying to create the light bulb before it finally succeeded? You know how many times people failed at doing all kinds of different stuff before someone finally succeeded? And who's to say that you're not the one? Who's to say that you're not the one to bring apart this big change? Something that would change everybody's life. Who's to say that the desire that you have in your heart, God is not willing to give it to you? He says he'll supply your every need. He says, I've already got it in hand. I'm waiting on you. So if I had $1 million and I stood here with $1 million, and I said, I already have it. I'm just waiting for you to come get it. But everybody, who would stay sitting at their seat? Who would stay sitting at their seat? Nobody? No matter how tired you was, you'd still press your way? No matter what aches and pains you had, you'd still press your way? I don't know how many people are in here right now, but let's say I had $1 million for everybody. You just had to come up here and get it. Is there anybody that would stay in their seat? No matter what you've gone through, no matter how you feel, you'd still do whatever you needed to do to get here, right? Don't you know God has way more than $1 million? $1 million is nothing to him. He has way more than that. And he says, if you delight yourself within the Lord, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Over in Psalms 34, if you delight yourself within the Lord, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Everything that I pick up and read in this Bible lets me know that relationship is important to God. Everything that I pick up and read, all the different situations and all the different times where people were in trouble and people were going through, God stepped in and stepped up in a mighty way. For those that were able to readjust and to say, this sinful nature, I understand I got it. I understand that I got issues. I understand things is going on, but I need to readjust. And in spite of what it is that I got going on, I got to put him first. And in this scripture, every story that I've read is all worked out in the end. I want to encourage you today. God has already provided everything that we need. Don't sit back. Don't let it be sitting right here and you say, but today I'm tired. But today I just don't feel like it. Because I want to let you know, those days are going to come. I don't know, Pastor, my back, I understand it. But God has everything that we need. We just got to be willing to make sure that we work on our relationship and that we readjust. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. Amen. 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 Everybody comes to a place in life where they come to a crossroads. It might be a crossroads in their job employment. It might be a crossroad in their relationships. There might be a crossroads. It could just be in anything. But at some point in your life, you're going to come to a crossroad. We're not talking about a crossroad. I mean that it's going to be a fork in the road. The road is going to be going straight, and then all of a sudden you're going to get to a point where you either got to choose to go left or you got to choose to go right. And which one is it that you're going to choose to do? Some people can go into a crossroad and can go, no problem, and just go ahead and keep on going. Some people sit back and use the excuse of, I'm trying to figure out which one is going to be best for me. There's scripture that says that God wouldn't allow us to be tempted with something that would overtake us. There's scripture that says that if we resist the enemy, he'll flee. There's scripture that says that he'll always provide for us a way out. We just have to make the choice. What I want to encourage you today is for the person that's sitting at the crossroads. If you're sitting at the crossroads, you ain't going nowhere. You ain't moving. You're stagnant. Nature even shows us that if for long you sit there and be still too long, there's going to be some buzzards that's going to start to fly around. And why do buzzards fly around? They only fly around something that appears to be dead. I want to encourage you today, no matter where you are in life, don't let the crossroad be your stagnant point. We just read scripture that said God wants to take care of our needs. God already knows what it is that we need. And God says he will supply our every need. Step out on faith. Everybody else might be going to the right. God might be calling you to the left. Everybody might be going to the left. God might be calling to you. Whatever it is. Would it make a difference which way you went, knowing that you wouldn't fail? Knowing that if you went to the left or you went to the right, it still took you to the same destination? God's got it. Don't try to take over something that's not yours. God's got it. You don't need to work it out for him. He's already got it worked out. Be encouraged. God already has provided everything that we need. We have it already. We just need to exercise it. We just need to use it. Amen? It's personal decision time. Personal decision time. After hearing today's message, after hearing our